body.
No, you gotta say it the way you just said it.
I'm back!
Woo-hoo! We missed you.
Who's we?
I'm me.
Carla's like,
me and the listeners. Yeah.
Who? The listeners?
The listeners. Yeah, we missed you.
No way.
Even though you kind of were in the last episode.
I was definitely in the last episode. I was there, you know. I chimed in for a brief moment with some not so insightful commentary.
I feel like we definitely, Alba and I had a lot of things to say.
You guys caught me off guard with that topic. Like when we talk about Latino men and like that, us not being as present in the educational space and all that. It was like, I had to really sit down and reflect. I'm like, why do a lot of the men that I know not care about school? Or why haven't we put an emphasis to it? And to answer that now, it's kind of like, some of us just didn't have the figures around us. Like, we didn't have positive male figures that were, you know, pursuing
education. I love that this is where your head is at the beginning of the podcast.
No, there's something I was thinking about afterwards. I forget, you and I discussed it. We had a, you know, obviously a lot of that shit is personal. You're supposed to want it for yourself and blah, blah, blah. And if you really want it, you could go out there and get it. But some of us, you know, uno copia lo que uno ve.
Yeah.
You copy what's around you. You copy the people that, you know.
Nigga, this is a part two of the previous episode.
I think sadly not every young Hispanic male has that positive influence. Like I was telling Carla, I grew up surrounded by toxic masculinity.
Yeah, he did.
Like some of us don't have that, you know, that individual, that figurehead to look at and be like, yo, that's what a man's really supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to act, you know. And for those of us that don't have it, sadly, it takes us a little longer. It's going to take you maybe into your mid-20s when you have a random ass epiphany.
Or 30.
Or 30, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes people a little longer. And it's a fucking marathon. It's not a fucking sprint, so that's where my mind's at with that.
Who are we?
We are the illustrious, prestigious, imagine. No, we are
WTF Latin X, the podcast where
we talk about food,
No. What's your name? This is how long we've got doing this. The podcast where
Joshua
and Carla talk about your favorite topics.
Oh my god. Go.
Includes superstitions, food, current events, what's going on in our lives, what's going on around, what we grew up doing, and most importantly of all,
we talk about history. Carla's tight right now. And we also talk about chancletas.
There we go. You had me in tension. You had me stressed
sister,
out.
Sister, the almighty chancleta. And
that was a horrible intro. I love it.
The intro is amazing. This is how you guys know that this isn't fake. We don't sit down. We're not like these, everything.
We don't remember.
Guys, we need a script. It has to be professional. No, pretty, you know, it's pretty raw, unfiltered.
That's what she said.
I'm sad. She made that joke. All right, guys. So, what do you want to talk about today?
Yeah, for today's episode, Josh and I have been going back and forth as to, like, how to name this, too, because we know what we're going to talk about. And we kind of want to talk about, like, Latinx, Latinos in different careers that, like, our parents don't understand. And
the careers that your parents don't believe that you can really get paid at.
We get paid at. Because I think this came from, we were talking about the other day too. I had a tia that, she's still alive. But she studied to be a secretary, was it?
Really?
Something like that. Like she went to school for it. And that's not a profession anymore like the way that it used to be. Like, now, you can technically be a secretary with less credentials. She was studying that. She worked in La Telefónica, the República Dominicana. So, she was the person that, like, took the calls and then put the phone call to, like, the house that it was supposed to go to, like, ooh, type of thing.
What Carla's talking about is, like, real old school. Like when you're in the movie, when you watch it.
When you have house telephones.
Yes, and there's, like, that middle person, the landline person that has to, like, physically connect you to, like, phone number XYZ.
Yo, and that was a career that doesn't exist anymore. So now the new careers that are coming out,
I love how you
said, my parents don't understand them.
I love how you said that's a career. Someone like actually would do that.
Studied that as a career. Yeah, they were like, when I grew up, I want to be the telephone person.
That shit is crazy. Oh, my, yo, imagine every... Guys, imagine a Dominican lady being in charge of manning phone calls. And she knows who's calling and who's who. Like,
and she's listening into their achievement.
You know how chismosa Dominican ladies are?
100%.
Like, she's deaf. Oh, Fulanita llamó a who? Oh, but her husband's working right now? Oh, I got some tea for the... You know. Anyways.
Of course. But yeah, so I think it's interesting. With the last episode, you guys know I graduated. I'm doing a pretty traditional job, but I'm finding myself that I am very interested in doing more creative work. And I want to make money out of, like, this podcast. Like, currently, Joshua and I aren't making money out of this, per se.
Guys, we do this because we love podcasting.
We actually love...
We enjoy podcasting. We enjoy expressing ourselves. We've been doing this for a bit. It's not about money. It's really just about just having fun. And, like, whatever little money does come in, you know, we're going to try to reinvest it into this. And
yeah.
Invest it in our people, too. It's not
so
just
I have a lot of ideas and dreams, but I just don't have the time because
real life.
The real life of, like, working a 9-to-5 sometimes gets in the middle of it. And I'm like, I don't want to work a 9-to-5 anymore. And I'm starting to understand now that a 9-to-5 isn't the only option I have as a career. No. And you, on the other hand, you're in school. But recently, congratulations, you got a new job.
Yes, yes.
And that job is in what you do. And what is it? Do you do again?
So, you guys don't know this about me, since like the tender age of like 15, I was born in East Missouri. Actually, I'm not really Dominican.
Oh my god!
Imagine. No, but ever since I was a young kid, I've been infatuated with art and graphic design. And when I tell you that every single one of my family members looked at me and told me that I was choosing the most non-traditional career path in the world, and that
no,
I would,
eso no deja dinero, I would que never, tiene que ser un doctor,
I'd never make a single ingeniero. Dime. I wouldn't. That's not enough for you to sustain yourself. Graphic design and graphic arts is that's not it. And I believe, well, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Maybe actually no, 2 weeks.
Like a week and a half. Yeah.
2 weeks maybe. I thank God, by the grace of God, I found a graphic design job, salaried position, benefits. I'm working 30 to 35 hours a week. I have every weekend off. My boss.
Which you didn't use them before, right?
My boss is amazing. My coworkers, if any of y'all hear this, y'all cool. Y'all cool as shit. Except for that one dude, Adriel. He be in the back. He know who he is.
Shout out to Adriel.
But yeah, and it's interesting because the other day I took a lunch. My mom lives like 3 minutes away from my location.
Yeah.
And I'm outside in the backyard painting, do what I do. You know, she's doing me. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yo, what are you doing here? I'm like, lunchtime. She's like, yo, you don't gotta go back to work. I'm like, yeah, I'm taking a lunch. She's like, but like, what are you doing for work? I'm like, what I used to do in my room for fun, I'm designing. She's like, what do you mean by designing, though? Like, they're paying you, like, what you made before at Home Depot? I'm like, I'm actually making more. She's like, but, like they're paying you real money, right? I'm like, no, me están pagando Monopoly money.
Monopoly money.
I'm getting fake money, and, like, everything's fake. I'm in a fucking Barbie house. So it was interesting that she, that was her reaction. That was the perspective that she came with. It's like, wow. You're actually, after that, she's like, wow, you're really doing what you've always told me you'd be doing.
Damn.
And it was interesting. And to bring it back to what I was saying in the beginning about having those figureheads, those people that you could look up to. My nephew, he's 16 at the moment, or 15. Mm-hmm. I picked him up from a track meet about like 3 weeks ago. And we're in the car. We're talking about him wanting to be better at track and him trying to improve. He's like, yo, I see you, bro, with the new job. You know, you're really following your dreams and you're doing what you said you were going to do.
That's my kid.
And I saw that, like, little glimmer in his eyes. And I'm like, oh, he understands now that you can literally do whatever you want in this world and make money off of whatever you want. Like you were saying, there are non-traditional avenues that...
And you know what it is? They're not even that not non-traditional. It's
they're
like,
non-traditional in our households.
Yeah.
Like, in the Latino, like you can't wake up and tell your mom that you're going to fucking be a filmmaker. Like,
yeah. Or,
you know, like, yo, I'm going to be like...
You're not going to succeed. You're not going to do some rapero, whatever.
Yeah, a music producer, anything. Like, all those non-traditional things are like, yo. There isn't a sense of safety with that.
There isn't. And then in the meantime, I'm coming from a place where I follow the traditional route. Like, I got a degree. And I'm not happy, or I'm learning that I want to do something a little bit more, like, okay, so story time.
Story time.
So I've been very into genealogy recently. I actually asked for a free request about how much it would cost me to pay, like, get a genealogist. And it's like over $4,000 per case. So I was like, damn, I can't afford that. But I've gone to on Ancestry and I sent my my DNA spit, whatever.
Oh, no.
In 2 weeks, I'll let you know, guys, how Latina I am.
Guys, listen.
So there's this other website that they have, like, family paperwork from churches. So if you have family members that have gotten married, have gotten, like, bautizado, what is that, Christianing? Yeah, si también, si matrimonio, nacimiento, muerte, y bautizo, that kind of stuff. So they'll have physical paperwork because the church used to keep it back in the day. And these people put it on the website, right? So I put the information to my mom, and then my grandparents pop up. Because my cousins have added my grandparents. That's honestly what happened. But then from my grandmother's side, so my mother's Dominican, so my grandmother is all, like, from my Dominican side of the family, I guess. I start searching and it pops up. And it's like, oh, my grandmother's father was, like, a politician or something. Mm-hmm. And then his father's father's father was this dude named Mariano, who was like a governor of Baní in República Dominicana, and then his father's father's father is some Spanish dude who was named Francisco, and there's paperwork attached to these descendants. So when you look at, like, what people have found, one of the attachments said Esclava Juliana or something like that. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm discovering, I'm in the process of discovering that on my mother's side, the genealogy aspect of it is all Dominican Spanish. And then I guess one of my cousins that added the information or has been investigating or whatever. So I am the 10th cousin, 4 times removed, of the Queen Marie Antoinette on my grandma's side, because it's really weird. It's like you have all the Spanish people that were in the Dominican Republic, and then once you go to the family that went to Spain, they were somehow connected to the Medici's family, and then the Medici's family was somehow connected to Marie Antoinette. And yeah, long story short, I'm royalty, so, like, what's up?
Yeah.
I think it's not even valid, like, 6 generations in, but I'm on the la 20. And my 20th generation is royal, so I don't know what to tell you.
Yo, guys, please, somebody come get her, because she's been on this high horse for, like, 3 days. She's like, oh, connected to royalty.
I'm a princess. Connected to royalty. I don't know why I'm broke. Mommy, what happened to the money? Because, like...
Listen. It's funny because I believe
Carla... I can fly.
Yeah. But Carla's mother, your mom had already kind of mentioned that briefly one time, right? That, like, oh, we're related to some random queen.
And I didn't believe them.
And I didn't believe her mother either. Not because she's a liar, but more because that shit sounded like... Because
we Hispanic, it's and they far-fetched. Like to sound good.
Exactly. Every Hispanic mother in the world likes to tell a tale. So when she says, oh, yo, we're related to some queen somehow, da-da-da-da-da. First off, I'm like, how do you even know that? But also, you can't even prove it.
You can't.
And then plot twist about...
There's actually paperwork about saying three weeks all ago, the marriages.
Carla in her fucking... This journey she's embarked on, she somehow has hit all the right little branches on the family tree that lead right back to this same
and that's queen. That branch, because if I...
It's mass specific, too.
Yeah, it was like the husband of the wife of the hot wife of the husband of the husband. But if I go right, and instead of going to the husband, I go through the wife's side of the family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then it goes... There's a bunch of, like, Spaniard royalty, un montón de sabers, and, like... A couple last names that sound familiar, so I have to research them.
Word.
There was a lot of, like... boat captains, which I'm assuming that's how they ended up in DR and stuff like that. So it's like he was like the main captain who was never defeated from de la Guardia Española que terminó República Dominicana. And I'm like, wow, like,
bro, it gets
I've never heard of this dude.
It gets even crazier because Carla has a great grandfather that was at one point the mayor. Or the president of Haiti for a brief amount of time.
And then he had his kids in Cuba, and then the kids came back to DR and then become some other alcalde.
Guys, needless to say,
it's fucking weird.
After watching Carla go down this rabbit hole, I'm gonna like also just bite the bullet and go down the same exact rabbit hole, because now I'm curious. Like, aside from us doing this podcast to understand like Latin history and our own personal history and etc., like, it's actually kind of dope to like look at that family tree and be like, yo, this is what my lineage was doing or could have possibly been doing. Like, because obviously you have to take stuff like that with a grain of salt.
Yeah,
because you don't know how accurate it is.
Yeah, but it's hard to believe the family and the stories until you physically see the paperwork proving that these people are born or blood related to these other people, and then you're like, oh, this isn't a lie. Like, and I think something that surprised me too is that they're not as far off as I thought they were.
Yo, yeah, it's like some of these, like, stories,
the 1600s is just my great great grandfather. It's just like three generations off my grandparents. It's not
really that crazy
long ago.
Yeah, when you think about it.
Yeah.
So,
which is kind of scary, but
it is though. It's spooky.
So, So the reason why I brought that up is because that's on my grandma's side. So on my grandpa's side, still on my mom's side.
Oh, I forgot all about this.
So there's a lot of stories that my grandfather's father is Hidalgo Mirabal. And so everyone's like, yeah, we're related on grandpa's side to La Hermana Mirabal. And I cannot, for the life of me, find any documentation of who my great grandpa's mother was, so I can prove where this Mirabal last name is coming from.
Wait, for those of the listeners out there that aren't Dominican, Puerto Rican, or didn't grow up with these stories, can you like go into a brief detail who the Mirabal sisters are?
No.
¿Quién son la hermana
Mirabal? I'm gonna missay this. So la hermana Mirabal, there's a actually really popular book that's called The Butterflies. I'm like, what is it? The Time of the Butterflies. And there's a book as well.
There's also we're talking about the movie.
Yeah, but there's a book. The movie is based on the book. The book is
also called the same thing. Okay.
And so La Hermana Mirabal are like this revolutionary ladies who were up against a dictator that was up and active in the Dominican Republic in the...
I believe...
It was in my grandfather's time.
1930s?
Yeah.
1930s up until, I forget.
60s-ish.
Yeah, 60s.
Probably, yeah, yeah, like 20s to 60s timeline almost. And so he was a very strict dictator. He had like people have pictures of him in their home. They had to obey. And people lived under fear because he would go to like little girl schools, and then the girls would disappear, prisoners would disappear, and his regime was very simple. If you spoke or even inclined anything against him and how great he was, he would just kill you.
You were a target so, immediately.
And like his solution was to kill you. So there was family that were like, he killed my brother, but I can't speak against him because he'll kill me too. So people just kind of sweeped it under the rug and pretend that it wasn't happening. And Minerva Minabard, which is like the main character, kind of, if you look at the movie that has Mark Anthony on it. That's the one we watched last night, right?
Yeah, yeah. Also, we don't know
how historically accurate, but it gives you a perspective.
A rough outline as to what was going on.
So, Minerva Mirabel was a very, like, strong-headed, individual, and she wanted to be a lawyer. And keep in mind that this is back in the time when, like, women, you're a wife. It's the 30s, yeah. You're born to be a wife, not to have your own job, not to have, like, aspirations.
I believe she was the first woman
ever in DR.
In DR to get her, to get to kind of...
To get to get admitted into a law school.
Yes, because I believe Trujillo didn't allow her to practice law. Which is one of the ways that he kind of tried to control her or tried to put her down was like, oh, yeah, we allowed you to study it, but we'll never let you practice it.
Because you're a woman. But the fact that she was the first ever, like, so long story short, he was like kind of disrespectful to her, but at the same time, she had to obey him because he's a dictator. So there was like a lot of like personal friction. He was offended that she didn't want him. She didn't want him because he killed her father.
Well,
as revenge to her. This story is long.
There's layers to the story.
Long story short.
But the genesis of it is Trujillo invites her to a party where he tries to like court her, dance with her. And he makes like a sexual advance towards her. And she rejects him and rejects any notion of that. And his revenge to her is like, oh, well, we'll take the breadwinner out of your house. Your father's now going to jail.
And so it becomes personal where she, once she goes to college, she starts working with other educated people and they start creating flyers and
kind of... They start leading a rebellion
against Trujillo.
And informing people
which
doing.
Which is so interesting. And, like, they start little by little, like, creating posters, letting people know how many people are being killed or disappearing. Like, kind of informing people. And, like, that's, like, half of the battle. People were already scared of them, but they... didn't really understand to what context, like, Trujillo was fucking evil. And so they started first educating the people. Then they started kind of, like, stealing the government's, weapons so they couldn't use weapons against the people. And they're absolutely amazing. Like, definitely read more up on their story. Because their story is very... They did a lot. They did a lot against him. And they worked together as sisters. And he ends up... using the same system that he always does. They're a problem. He tries to get rid of them. But the community, they were connected with the community. So once the sisters disappeared on a quote-unquote car accident, then, like, the people...
That was essentially the final straw. That's like...
For the people. Because they knew that he had done it. And then he was killed 6 months after they died. Because they knew it was him.
After that. Yeah, exactly. But...
There's a lot more. There's a relationship with the U.S. and the church that, like, I'm just not going to get into. But, yeah, go look into it.
The story is heavy, and it goes into great, like, detail of all the nuanced stuff. But I brought that up because those women, their lineages, they were for the people.
They're huge historical figures, and they're so important in the Dominican Republic that they are. You can find them in, money.
Their statues, the
there's
money.
Their house is a museum.
You know,
so,
due to their sacrifice, November 25th internationally is recognized as, like, I think, like, women's violence, like,
the day against violence against women.
Yeah,
like
exactly,
that.
because of what happened to them that day.
Which is so crazy. Up. But long story short, they're this very important historical figures, and my family keeps insisting that we're somehow blood related to them. And so my grandfather had a brother. I don't know if it was like on my, I guess, my grand uncle's side or something. But I'm somehow related to these ladies. And because it was during the time of of the Mirabales, and this was all happening during the dictatorship, Trujillo tried to like get rid of their existence somehow. Like he got rid of some paperwork.
We can't prove this, but yeah, that's what we think. I believe
that's like, what. Yeah, well, he wanted to get rid of whoever was against him. So I have a theory that he somehow got rid of my family's paperwork, and now I'm having a big headache trying to figure out how can I prove that this is real or this isn't real. So. The reason why we bring it up is because watching that, I'm like, even if that isn't true, even if I'm not related to them, my family on my mom's side is like very well known in the community of Luperon, República Dominicana, because my grandfather was like a man of the community, and he didn't have like a medical degree.
So yeah,
but he used to help people with like the limited knowledge he had of. Military.
He had military medicine knowledge, which he applied to the local region. And Carla, I don't know if you want to talk about it, the stuff you found on.
Oh, yeah. So I found like a Facebook post of someone talking about it. And it kind of made me angry at myself because I'm like, yo, I'm here very comfortable living like.
Lavishly.
I have the education.
Ghetto fabulous.
I have the education that my grandparents couldn't have. I have the education that my mother only dreamed of, and she always pushed me to get. And it's not like fulfilling, and I don't feel like I'm doing enough good. Like
for the world.
Like, for the world, and like for the people, and like for Latinos. Like I think that's one of the reasons that motivated me to start a podcast, was to talk about things that matter to us, because the information that you get on regular news is like, right now it's a lot about the Johnny Depp case, which let me tell you, I've been following that up.
Yo, let's stay on topic with the news that we get, I feel like, is filtered.
It's,
and some of it does have a bias because of who's writing it. Sometimes it's people that aren't from our community, that don't understand our perspective, don't understand our plight, our struggle, just don't understand our culture in general, and it's coming from that biased point of view.
Yeah. So I'm tired of like working in a space where I don't feel like I'm making a change, and I don't feel like I'm making my family proud, and I don't feel like I'm happy with where I am in life. When I know I can, they're judging me. And I feel like I can do more, and I just don't know how to do more. So learning all of this has definitely like shifted my perspective, and like I'm really grateful where I come from, and I'm now like processing where I want to go with my career, so that it feels like I'm like aportando to the community and doing better. I'm tired of like trying to fit in. I'm tired of like when you go through the education system, that shit burns you down. That shit like smashes you, and the things that are important to me aren't important anymore. I went to school while my mom was sick, and like as a cancer patient, like I had to do a lot of things like with her and go to hospitals and this and that. And for a long time, all I wanted to do was fit in, because I was so tired of like being so overwhelmed. I just wanted a simple life, and I'm like realizing that a simple life isn't simple. You know what I mean? It's like sad and pathetic when like you can help. Why not help?
I see what you're saying.
Like, it doesn't cost me anything, and like the smallest things that I can do can literally change someone's life, and I'm so hyper aware of that.
It's funny that you say that, because I've grown up with my mother. My mother being she's not rich. She's poor. She makes just enough to pay her bills and get by. But my mother and her sisters every other month prep a box to DR. And this is like the most tiniest gesture in the world. Mm-hmm. My mother goes out to food lines everywhere. It's the everywhere. Smallest thing. And she'll Yadura maybe like 2 months gathering up food, canned food, anything that she can find, free items, clothing. And she takes this. Her and her sisters make these boxes and they send them out to the pueblo where they grew up at, which is super poor. Up in like the jungle, rural area, like my a few of my cousins grew up in metal tin roof tents.
Yep.
And they grew up having nothing, and there's still family out there that live in those conditions that don't have anything. You know, my mother tries what little money she has and time and effort, she takes that time to make those boxes. I can't talk right now. My teeth hurt. but yeah, like you're saying, like that small little gesture to them out there is the world, bro. They'll have food for like a couple months. They have brand new clothing, socks, and all sorts of essential needs and shit are met because my mother takes the time out to just go hit up a food line. So, and I see stuff like that, and I also feel how you feel. I'm like, damn, how can I impact people around me?
It's crazy because it's so small, but it's so simple. And like, I'm in a space right now where I'm like, I've gotten all these degrees. I'm like, what do I do now with my life? Because having a 9-to-5 isn't it for me. Sitting here to make money for the corporate America, that's just not who I am. That's not who I am. That's not who I'm gonna be. Like, yeah, you can like. We need people with money in our community so they can fund organizations that make a change. Obviously, I think it's really important that we see money as a fuel and a tool. But when you can have all the money in the world, and that's not going to fulfill, like, I don't know. Like, that's not... You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have people to share it with, like family, people you care about, friends that are working on their goals, like...
Yeah,
it takes away from like we work so hard to get this money to help people close to us, and then we lose those people, and then what's that money worth?
Really, nothing really. It's interesting, man.
Oh my god, we completely derailed. So long story short, I'm very indecisive with my work life, but I'm looking into different nonprofit organizations are near me, so I can volunteer. There's this organization that's called Latinos for Education, I think, and they're in Massachusetts and Chicago. So I emailed y'all. Let's see if y'all respond to me.
Yo, y'all better respond to Carla. If not, I'm coming for you.
Oh.
Imagine, chill. Anyways,
So how's your new job? How's the life of a person who everyone told you that you couldn't do it?
Fever dream. Bruh. Nah. It's interesting because I have so much time now to sit down and reflect and do things that I want to do. My new job is amazing, first and foremost, to answer that. Coworkers are amazing. And
what do you do all day?
All right, so let me tell you guys. I work for this nonprofit organization by the name of Elevated Thought. They're local here in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Oh, did I just give up my location?
Kind of, yeah. Oh. We don't live there, so it's fine, I guess.
I don't live in Lawrence, but I work in Lawrence.
Yeah.
So, essentially...
Don't go haunt us. Also, I feel like we've spoken of Lawrence before.
Yeah, 100%. So, anyways... I work there as their full-time production and design. This is the actual title. Production and Design Fellow. Shout out my boss, Marquise. He came up with that title. But essentially, I work on mural work in the community and other communities. And I'm also helping out with any sort of graphic design needs. So on social media... physical and digital media, anything like that.
I also wanted to point out that in the WTF Latinx Instagram, all the cool looking posts are Joshua, and all the ones that are blurry are
just amazing
and are fucking shitty are Carla on Canva. So you can definitely tell the difference in talent
and quality
of when you got someone who knows what they're doing. It looks amazing.
It's funny because today Adriel
Adriel's one of my coworkers, great friend of mine. Love that guy. Adriel was looking at the, I don't know why he was looking at it, but he was looking at the WTF Latinx Instagram.
Oh no.
And he's like, yo, I noticed this, but the last couple posts that you posted was blurry. And I start laughing. I'm like, I didn't even make those. He's like, huh? I'm like, nah, Carla made those. He's like, word? And I'm like, oh, shit. She did tell me about them being blurry. I'm like, damn, other people noticed too? I'm like, fuck. I'm over here like, argh. But I say that to say this. He complimented some of your design work because he confused it with me. So if it makes you feel better, how...
People think I'm a graphic designer. I'm coming from people, the job,
people
Josh.
Think that some of Carla's work is my work. I don't know if that speaks positively to me or not, but yeah, so anyways, back to my new job.
How amazing it is. And you're painting on the next event that's coming up.
I'm actually
up,
painting
right?
on June 4th, live painting, gonna be painting some really cool stuff. But my new job is amazing, bro. But it took me like 5 years of working at Home Depot. I was working, yo.
Can we be saying the name?
Yeah, no, it's okay. I used to work for corporate Home Depot in New Hampshire. The environment was super awkward, really racist. I'm a big, tall, black kid that walks and kind of talks like.
You're not a kid, though.
I'm a man.
Yeah.
But I was in an environment that's just like, those weren't my people. And I could tell they weren't my people because no matter how friendly I was, I'd get.
Oh my God.
Get horrible, like, good morning, sir. And then
can you talk about what that girl said?
Oh my gosh. Can we talk about the naysayers, the haters? Or in their mind, they're being realistic. The individuals that would tell me that, oh, yo, you're going to be a Home Depot lifer at this point. Oh, you're going to be here forever. You're going to be stuck at this company forever. I mean, you're not doing anything with your life. You're never going to do anything with your life. Even on my last day, I had an older gentleman by the name of Ray. And Ray looks me in the eyes. He's like, yo, I'm really proud of you. I've worked here about 20 plus years. And in this 20 plus years, you're probably one of maybe 5 people that has ever told me that they were going to do something outside of this place. And actually went on to pursue exactly what they were talking about. So
that's fucking crazy.
I'm happy. I'm proud of myself. You
and I are crossing some milestones that I don't think we thought we could make.
I'm not gonna lie to you. There's a lot of people in my life that probably thought I'd never leave Home Depot. Myself included for a point in time. But it took a lot of effort, a lot of perseverance. And it took someone like my new boss, Marquise, to just kind of take a chance on me. I've only been there a couple weeks, but I know I'm going to be there for the next couple of years. I don't know the song.
Take a chance on me.
Oh, no, I don't know what she's talking about. But yes, my people, long story short, whatever it is you want to do out there, you could do that shit.
Yes,
put your mind to it. Focus and even if it's like a random hobby, just, you know, even as a hobby, take it serious. Not too serious, don't go too crazy on it, but take it serious enough to where like you put yourself out there, you talk to the right people, always put your best foot forward, because that's the only reason why I feel like I got this job now.
And that was the next thing that I kind of wanted to point out, and a huge like next step that I think you and I are going to be embarking soon. But I want to hear about your guys. How do you network if you're a business owner, if you're a student, if you are working on your dreams, if you don't know what you want to do yet? I think networking is absolutely crazy. And oh,
8 o'clock. Guys, I'm going to be right back. Carla's phone is in the background.
Hold up.
We're going to take a brief intermission.
Do we play Drake now? Hold up. Woo! Okay. So, I forgot what we were talking about.
Carla, you had a question. You were asking young Latino people how they network.
Oh, yes.
That was the question you had posed.
This episode was about us talking about like how we've developed our careers over time. We just want to enhance, like, if you have a dream, go out and do it. You wake up, you go for it, and At first you don't succeed, that means you're doing something maybe right, because it takes a while for you to get there.
But I think the one thing people don't tell you when you're trying to like come up and do something, and maybe it's kind of obvious for some people, but it isn't for others, you're gonna suck. You're gonna fail.
That's me, my having mental breakdowns about.
Like, yo, sometimes you have the geniuses that like do something, and everything they do, they strike gold. And then you have some people like me, you gotta get it out the mud. You gotta like figure it out. Fall on your face a little bit, get back up, and then just keep trying. But in that whole, through that whole journey, the one thing I've learned is like, you have to meet good friends, meet good people. You're not gonna be able to do everything by yourself.
The people around you matter. And so I think that's why I kind of wanted to bring on networks, because I'm fortunate that while I was in college, I met a couple staff members that were Latinos and that like motivated me to stay. I had friends. Yo, my friends, I have our good old friend with the Correa last week, Alba. Alba's a huge inspiration for me, because even though we come from completely different worlds and she grew up here, at the same time, her work ethic, it's absolutely crazy and, like, different from me. And like,
both of y'all hustlers, I'll give you that.
We are, but like, I can tell you there's things about hustling that I learned from her, because she's the one who wake up and she's like, let's go and do it, and I'm like, I don't want to do it. She's like, but if we do it now, we'll have it easier later. And I was like, you know what, let us do it. And it's always easier when you have those people around you motivating you. So if you, there's something you want to do, if that career doesn't exist, you can make it up. As long as you have the right people around you to support you, and if you, and that doesn't have to be family, and that doesn't have to be friends. Remember,
family doesn't have to be blood.
That's big.
That's the main thing. I have friends that have become family, that have like literally, I've planted seeds. They've heard me talk
when
about.
When you got pregnant.
Yo, shout out Gina. Guys, if you guys don't hear from me from this point on, just know I've fucked up.
I've passed away.
I've gone missing.
Yeah.
Anyways, but nah, I have friends that I'll plant a seed and they'll help me water that shit. It's like, yo, you want to do what? Yo, I know somebody. I know this person. Yo, you could do this. You could do that.
You know what? Even a shout out to the good old Adriel. Adriel's one of those people that I consider a close friend of yours, because he always like. I don't want to say that he has the right things to say, but when it comes to the design world, I don't really understand how that works, because I've grown up more in corporate, studying business and all that, but y'all, like, are each other's support system and give each other ideas and work on projects together, and I think that's really fucking cool.
It's dope. As we speak, I'm working on a project with Adriel.
You heard Adriel? Lord. He's still working on it. Lord Christ. We're going to have to make him listen to this.
He's going to have to listen to this episode.
Is he the next guest?
Actually, yo.
Adriel, we're waiting for you.
We're going to talk to you, brother.
We'll just promote Elevated Thought, too. Let me know. Holla.
But yeah, man. If you don't have a strong support system out there, let us be your support system. Let us serve as examples. We're nobody special. We're just two regular people.
We really aren't.
That are like just figuring shit out slowly. And I'm going to continue to figure shit out and design for these crazy companies that are on my bucket list. And it'll happen. Slowly.
And I'm going to continue push through, too. I don't really like to get personal, but like this year in particular has been really strong for me. And it's also, I know I always keep saying this, but it's one of the reasons why it took us so long to get back into the podcasting. We said we'd be back. We're not leaving this anytime soon.
To that one lady that left us a 1-star review, we love you.
Yeah, God bless. I lost my parents this year, and so I lost my dad in December, and I lost my mom in January, and then I lost my job. Well, I didn't lose it. I left it. I lost my job to start a better job, thank God, and I finished school, and it was all just kind of like a whiplash. So we're literally no one special. We're going through the same... We're going through the same shit. If we can do it, you can do it. And I'm cheering for you.
I'm here for you too.
You can do it, bro.
You got this.
You got this, girl.
You got this, sister. Let's go.
Woo! And with that being said, thank you so much, guys, for listening. And we'll see you on the next podcast where I want to get back a little bit into like our original roots of superstition because we haven't touched that realm in a little bit.
Oh, no. We're going back to the shadow realm.
We are going back to the shadow realm. So stay tuned for the next episode next week.
All right, guys. Y'all know the vibes.
You gotta do the thing you do.
Yo, peace.
No, there was something else.
What do I do?
Is it the year?
Yeah. Yo, take care, yo. I forget.
Oh, my God. Do the year. I'll stop it on the year.
Yeah. Take care.